From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of August, 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Brian Grady will join us from the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. He traveled through western Indiana and is now in Illinois and will be in Bloomington tonight for the update, but we'll get some numbers from him. And then on the western leg, we'll talk not only with Jeff Wilson, who is Pro Farmer's chief analyst and traveling along the Kansas border, but also with Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities. So stay with us as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to look at the agricultural trade in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Right, good afternoon, Todd.
So we've been watching the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, and the numbers have been coming in. And while they have had some areas, especially in the lower parts of Nebraska, that haven't been so great, the numbers overnight from Ohio and from South Dakota were big, just like USDA had predicted on August the 8th. I know you've been watching those. What's the trade think of them so far?
Well, I think it's confirmation of the USDA numbers that we are seeing some really potential of good yields out there. I don't know that it's given us any new information. It's just confirming the information that we basically had. And as we look at things here, we sort of had the three R's going on today. We have had rain everywhere that didn't have rain, so that's good. We had the Russians saying they're going to give more wheat out of the reserves, and then the results for the crop tour being big. So we saw a lot of red today from those three R's.
Three R's and one more, four for a red. So what do we do from here going forward, do you think?
Well, I think we're going to probably try to consolidate a little bit and see. I think one big thing that the trade is going to be watching is any headlines, any news out of the Chinese delegation to whether they're packing up and going home early, whether they are smiling, whether I think they're going to be watching for any sign at all to see how that goes. Because as we look at it now, South American planting's just around the corner. They're already talking about expanding 7% in Brazil, could be more than that. The domestic price in reals down there is up 33% from a year ago this week for beans. So if we don't have something positive come out of the Chinese, we've got way too many beans in the world.
Way too many beans and the likelihood of big acres for corn next year, and that would pile things on quickly for both crops by the time we got to the 2019 fall, and even by 2020 it could be worse.
Yeah, and that's the bad part is it isn't just that we would have problems in the bean pricing, it would be problems in the corn pricing also for next year with world stocks greatly increasing because, the odds of another big disaster in Australia, parts of Europe, and Argentina next year, just they're small.
Right. So nonetheless, as we look forward, producers are trying to figure out just exactly what to do with the crop. The good news is the more crop you have, even if it's lower priced, you might be just fine. But they're going to want to get the best value out of both of those crops. You have any suggestions as to which one should be marketed first and which one should be held back?
Well, fortunately, hopefully, there was a lot of $10 beans sold early, and they can market those, and then they can maybe hold the rest of the crop or sell them, whatever. We feel that there is a better chance for corn to come up this year because of the demand and the time period where it should be, where we've got some good chances for corn to go into the export market a little harder and faster. Like I say, I think Todd Hubbs would said it best with, it's a real conundrum in here that beans, if we don't get something done with the Chinese, are going to get worse than they are. But if we do something with the Chinese and you sell right here, you're going to feel really stupid when we go up 50 cents. So, I think that was our conundrum today. We thought, looking at the Pro Farmer numbers, that beans should probably be sold, but with the Chinese coming to town tomorrow, we were scared to do it.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Well, all this week, the folks from Pro Farmer are out on the Midwest Crop Tour, scouts in Illinois and Iowa, Indiana, over time, along with Ohio and South Dakota and Minnesota. In the great state of Indiana, we're now joined, at least I think that's where he still probably is, by Brian Grady as we record at about 10 minutes to the hour of 9 o'clock to take a look at what he's found over the last day or so. Hi, Brian. Thanks so much. Where are you exactly?
Well, you had it right. I'm in western Indiana right now, not too far from the Illinois border. We gain an hour back today, go from the eastern time zone to the western central time zone. So that helps us out a little bit on that, but we're pretty close to crossing the border at this point.
So the two legs of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour were in South Dakota yesterday along with Ohio, and you finished up those, released those numbers last night. What did they show?
Well, in South Dakota, I'll start there on what the western leg found. They found an average yield of 178 bushel corn. And that was up 20% from last year, so a significant increase. You know, USDA came out with their August estimate, and they put it at 170, and they had it up 17.2% from last year. So the numbers from what they found on the western leg match up pretty well with what USDA gave us on August 1. You know, now at this point in time, it's how much of the yield potential it can hold on to into the finish line, and I think that that's the biggest thing. Soybean pod counts in South Dakota, they were just under 1025, fraction under that, and up almost 14% from last year. So a significant increase once again. USDA, they actually do a yield where we do just the pod counts in a 3-foot by 3-foot square. They put the South Dakota yield on August 1 at 49 bushels, and that was up 14%. So the percentage increase in their yield and our pod counts is almost right in line with each other.
And then what'd you find in Ohio?
Well, Ohio, that I'll be honest with you, I'll start off there. I saw that thing firsthand, and it's the best corn crop that I've seen coming out of the state of Ohio in my years doing crop tour. So they got very good yield potential. It's uniform. They have a lot of ears. The ear counts drove our number, which came in at 179.6 bushels per acre, up 9.1%. So almost at 180, and that's where USDA put it when they estimated in August. So we don't try to prove or disprove USDA's numbers, but I think that coming out of both Ohio and South Dakota, you know, the question was, can we get to the big numbers the USDA put on it? And the potential's definitely there based on the year counts that we found.
What'd you find in Indiana as you crossed it yesterday?
Well, Indiana, the eastern side of the state, what I saw on my route and talking to some scouts last night at the meeting, very similar to what we found in western Ohio. As we move further west this morning on my route, and I can only speak to my route so far today, but more variability. We've seen more of the tip back issues that we'd heard about and been talked about on social media all summer long. And we're starting to see some of that here become more prevalent as we move through western Indiana.
And where are you coming across the line at, do you know?
We are going to be in the probably about the Hoopston area, somewhere in there. That's in Illinois. So yeah, about west central portion of Indiana, east central Illinois.
Yeah, so you should see that begin to fall off, I would think, and the tip back, from my experience, should be there. So we'll be looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And folks can catch up with you tonight in Bloomington. Is that right?
Correct. We'll be in Bloomington and have final results from the state of Indiana. The western side will release results from the state of Nebraska.
I should make clear that that's Bloomington, Illinois. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
All right. Sounds great, Todd.
Brian Grady is leading the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. On the western leg and leading it is Jeff Wilson. He's the senior analyst for Pro Farmer. Hey, Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, so Jeff and I are talking at about 10 after the hour of 11 o'clock. We've already heard about the South Dakota numbers, but we kind of like a recap of what you think you saw there. And tell me about what you've seen in Nebraska so far today.
Sure. I think the South Dakota story is twofold in terms of corn. Plant population up 8.9% from a year ago, and the grain length, number of inches we measure on each ear that we survey from each field, was up 5.4%. So the overall up over 20% from a year ago, in line with kind of what USDA was thinking or forecasting back on August the 10th. So not a huge surprise, but it is it is a very good crop. I was very surprised to see the South Dakota farmers plant that kind of a plant population. Normally they go a little bit light because they're always worried about dry weather, but this year they they've learned how to manage their risk and manage their crops, and they planted more, and looks like they're going to be rewarded from Mother Nature.
I suppose we'll find out more about that as we get into the harvest season. I'm wondering, however, whether the Nebraska farmers followed suit. Did they have higher populations as well?
I think the plant populations so far that we measured are pretty close. Now, we, on our particular part of the tour today, we're in the southernmost district 9 of Nebraska. This is probably the area that is there's a fair amount of irrigation, but it's also a traditionally dry area and hot area. And we've actually seen a wide range of estimates across the southern part of, we're basically 2 miles away from the Kansas border. And we've seen a range of 241 bushels to 95 bushels. And obviously irrigated is the top dog, and the non-irrigated is the low dog. But in a lot of these fields that we've measured so far, the 9 fields we've gone into, there has been some pollination problems. So it looks like that heat may have just knocked a little bit off, at least in this area. And now we're also starting to see the dryness that has predominantly been around across the southern part of Nebraska starting to nip a little bit at the grain fill that we've measured. So in terms of the stops we've already made, we've averaged about 139. Talked to another carload that's a little further north of us, and they've been averaging over 200 bushels. So, we'll have to just get all the numbers together tonight and see what the state plays out like.
And where will you end up tonight?
Tonight we will end up in Nebraska City, and we'll have our meeting there, and hopefully we'll get some details out to you later tonight and tomorrow.
All right. We'll be watching Twitter, and of course, I'll be posting those to our willag.org website. Hey, thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks. You take care.
That's Jeff Wilson. Of course, he is the senior grains analyst for Pro Farmer, and running along the Kansas-Nebraska border on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, one county above him or just about that, running due east along Interstate 80, but just below it, from Grand Island heading towards the Iowa and Nebraska border, is Sherman Newland. He now joins us. Hey, thanks, Sherman. We appreciate you taking time again today with us.
Yeah, you bet.
Hey, so you have looked at what kind of crops today. I know that when we talked with Jeff, not as good as he had suspected maybe, and the dry land was pretty rough, but he's right there on that Kansas border. I think maybe where you are, there has been a little bit more rain.
Yeah, we started out at Grand Island this morning, went due south. Ground was pretty saturated, pretty wet, stops not too far out of there. Had some good corn numbers on the first stop, and the bean numbers have been pretty good on those areas. So far for the truck, corn, we've got about a 178 average. Most of that was irrigated. Two of it was non-irrigated. Pod counts have been pretty high where the irrigated ground has been. We ran into a record place where we had pods over 2,600. So that was pretty surprising. Then we went farther east and got into dry land area, and it's not as good naturally. We had some 125 bushel, 123 bushel, a 157 yield on some corn, but going back compared to last year, that's about average. So nothing really out of the ordinary. Pod counts are again still about average as we go east.
Do you know how far west of the Iowa border you are now? How far you are from the border? You about 100 miles out still?
Yeah, probably, maybe not quite. We're not quite due south of Lincoln. We stopped and had lunch in Wilbur, Nebraska. So we're not quite even to the roads going south of Lincoln.
Right. So you don't have too many stops yet today, or will you turn into Iowa still yet this afternoon?
No, we're going to stop in Nebraska City this afternoon, this evening. That's where we're staying. So today's a lot shorter than what we had yesterday. Tomorrow's going to be a long day. Yeah, tomorrow's going to be a long day.
Yeah, you should be finished up pretty shortly. And I would think, just on my own experience coming through exactly that same area in the middle of July, that you might find some pretty rough fields here in the next hour and a half, I suppose, as you get started for the afternoon.
As going farther east, we might run into that, but it's surprising, you know, the dry land areas where we are now aren't really all that bad. Of course, they had some pretty good rain through here right now, the day before yesterday. So things are not looking too out of the ordinary.
Well, hey, thanks so much again, and looking forward to talking with you again tomorrow, Sherman.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, Sherman Newland is with Risk Management Commodities. He's on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 85% of the corn crop around the nation, at least in the 18 reporting states, has entered the dough stage. The rolling five-year average is 72%. 44% of the crop has now dented. The five-year average is 26%. The condition of the crop, 48% good, 20% excellent. That's down 2 percentage points from last week when it was 50% good and 20% excellent. Soybeans are setting pods on 91% of the acres in the 18 states reporting. 83% is the rolling five-year average. The condition of that crop, 49% good, 16% excellent, combined down 1 percentage point in the good category from 50% to 49% over the one-week period. Now here are the statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS, with a weekly Iowa crop progress and condition report. Iowa farmers had 5.1 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included harvesting hay and oats for grain, chopping corn silage, spraying for aphids, and moving grain. Subsoil moisture levels in south central and southeast Iowa remain critical, with 95% or more rated short to very short. 85% of the corn crop has reached the dough stage or beyond, 9 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn dented was at 42%, 9 days ahead of last year. Corn condition rated 73%, good to excellent. 98% of the soybean crop was blooming, with 93% setting pods, over 1 week ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition declined slightly to 70%, good to excellent. 95% of the oat crop has been harvested for grain. While some feedlots in northwest Iowa have been dealing with mud, dry conditions in southern Iowa have resulted in CRP being released for emergency grazing. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The Illinois soybean crop is now setting pods on 95% of acres, compared to 91% 1 year ago and 86% for the five-year average. 3% of soybeans are turning color, compared to 1% normally. The condition of the soybean crop in Illinois was rated 6% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 74% good to excellent, nearly unchanged from 1 week ago. 94% of Illinois corn acres have reached the dough stage or beyond. That compares to 89% 1 year ago and 85% normally. 63% of acres have reached the dent stage compared to 36% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 6% very poor to poor, 18% fair, and 76% good to excellent, nearly unchanged from 1 week ago. 88% of sorghum acres have headed compared to 81% normally. 62% of acres are now turning color, and 25% of acres are mature compared to 4% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Warm, dry weather for much of the week allowed Minnesota farmers to make substantial progress on the small grain harvest. Despite scattered areas receiving significant precipitation, there were 5.7 days suitable for field work overall. Field activities included harvesting small grains, cutting and baling hay, and applying insecticides as needed. 82% of the corn had reached the dough stage or beyond, that's 9 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn dented was 26%, that's 5 days ahead of average. Corn for silage harvest has begun and was 5% complete, almost 2 weeks ahead of average. The corn crop condition overall declined slightly to 74%, good to excellent. 97% of the soybean crop was setting pods or beyond, that's 11 days ahead of average. Now 5% of the soybean crop was turning color, that's 6 days ahead of last year. Soybean condition fell to 67%, good to excellent. 76% of the spring wheat had been harvested, almost 2 weeks ahead of average. 78% of the oat crop had been harvested, that's 10 days ahead of last year. And 89% of the barley crop had been harvested, that's 2 weeks ahead of average. Lastly, pasture conditions were rated at 55%, good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Continued rainfall further rejuvenated soil moisture last week, boosting crop development. The rain events in the latter half of the week provided much-needed moisture to most of the state, slightly improving soybean conditions and aiding grain fill in corn. Dry conditions in the beginning of the week gave farmers an opportunity to cut and bale hay and make progress with commercial tomato and mint harvest. Livestock were reported to be in good condition, benefiting from improved pasture conditions. Other activities for the week included hauling grain, mowing roadsides, spraying fields, and attending the state fair. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
Well, let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. We're now joined by Dave Chatterton. He is the Powerline Group right here in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So let's get right into this. I want to talk about both diesel and propane. These are products that producers will want to have online for the fall harvest. What can you tell me about each of them?
Yeah, Todd, it's been kind of a quiet market here of late. I think since the last time we've talked, the market, we've had an OPEC meeting in late June. The market has gone into kind of a sideways trading pattern since then, and crude has been edging down a little bit quicker than what we find in the distillate inventories. Those inventories for distillates, just much like we see in the grains, the stock situation is typically the best leading indicator of where the prices are going to go. So we've had some luck closing up the deficits on inventories for diesel fuel and distillate. We're now down about 13% behind where we were a year ago. We're still about 10% behind the five-year average. So prices may have a little bit more softness here, but we're talking cents, not dimes and so forth going forward. So certainly for fall usage this fall, we'd want to move those tanks toward the top side. I think you want to be looking pretty hard there. There is some political risk in the market, but right now the way the price structure comes in, we see a little bit more risk to the upside than the downside, at least in those diesel prices.
And so when you say political risk, what is the risk?
Well, we've got the Trump factor. We've got the Iranian sanctions. We've got OPEC. I guess you can line them up. Venezuela is falling apart. Brazilian and Mexican production are falling off. So there's certainly some worry spots around the world, but OPEC, since their meeting in June, has generally increased their crude oil production. U.S. production of crude remains right around a record level, 10.9 to 11 million barrels per day. And we're seeing exports, you know, out of the U.S. Still strong. And the world supplies seem to be gaining a little bit of traction, and the stocks seem to be gaining a little bit as we go towards that winter demand season.
And then on the propane side?
Propane's in a much similar situation. We were very concerned about inventories coming, you know, into the build season. We've actually closed that deficit up. We're right on where we were a year ago. Those numbers, again, are behind what we would call historical averages. But with about 8 weeks left in the build season, it looks like we will eclipse last year's values. We, because of the structure of the crude to the propane pricing, we haven't seen a big dip in propane prices, and we probably will not at this point. So again, if you're looking at fall for grain drying, I know we've got a crop that's ahead of normal. Maybe it stays in the field a little bit longer, but certainly would want to have the majority of the supply that we think we're going to need secured before we turn the dryers on here.
All right, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be here.
Hey, well, let's start closer to you in the Canadian prairies, where they have suffered dry and hot conditions, and not just dry and hot, but terribly hot for this summer. Has anything changed there?
Well, a little bit. We've had a couple of troughs come in out of the Gulf of Alaska, sliding into British Columbia and Alberta, and these systems are then sliding across the Northern Rockies and the Northern Plains states, and they have brought a little moisture, and more importantly, they've cooled things off a little bit. We're hoping that this will help with a little bit of the fire activity in the north, central, and northwest United States. I think it will. It's also going to lead to some cooler weather and better chances for precipitation in the short term into the upper Midwest and northern plains states. And the outlook here in the coming next couple of weeks is cooler for central and western Canada. So there is some help on the way.
You mentioned the wildfires seriously still underway there and a lot of smoke across the western part of the United States. What's it like to live in your part of the world there in Wyoming?
Well, I tell you, it's been very smoky. And the last couple of days, it's been quite bad. And, you know, it's mainly affecting visibility, but some folks with asthma and allergies are impacted physically by it. We have seen it thinning out a little bit as the weather has gotten a little more favorable to fight those fires, and we're hoping that trend continues. But for a large part of the nation, the northern tier of the U.S., where the smoke has been most common, it's still going to be around for a bit longer.
I know that in Fargo, North Dakota, they've had more than a share of a few cloudy days, actually smoky days. They've also been dry in some of those areas that produce a lot of corn and soybeans along the Red River Valley. What can you tell me about that area?
Well, the prospects for rain gets a little bit better, especially that Red River Valley area. With these systems we mentioned earlier coming out of western Canada through the northern Rockies and northern plains will trigger some shower and thunderstorm activity. In fact, the focal point of the heavier moisture over the next week or two is going to be shifting more northward. It does look like Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, northern and central Illinois will be areas that will be the most wet, drying out in the southern and western areas of the Corn Belt. And also a dry period is going to be hitting the southern plains of Oklahoma and Texas in the next week to 10 days.
Let's drop a little further south into southern Illinois, down through Memphis and to parts of those areas of Tennessee, all the way into Louisiana, where they will begin harvest here pretty shortly, if they're not already somewhat underway. What kind of conditions will they be toiling under?
Well, pretty good. It is going to be warming up over the central and eastern part of the United States next week and the week after that. In fact, some pretty warm late summer weather is coming. That's going to coincide with drier weather as well. So in terms of those areas that's outlined for any harvest operations, for harvest weather, it's looking pretty good.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Don Days with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. You can hear Don's forecast anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just look for the Weather tab. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a very good and safe afternoon.